Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United up against Burnley. It's actually 24 hours after the match because, as I mentioned at the end of the last pod, I was at a wedding. So I didn't manage to catch the whole game. I managed to watch some highlights back. I did listen to the first half just before the wedding. And it pretty much told me everything that I need to know in regards to this Manchester United side. It didn't surprise me in the slightest that when I actually switched my phone on when I was getting a lift from the church to the hotel where the reception was, that United hadn't won. It finished United 1, Burnley 1. I mean, from the first half, from what I'll go back to what I was listening to, It was an end-to-end game. Burnley had a lot of opportunities. Onana was the player of the half, really. United had opportunities themselves, but it was mainly Burnley who were, I wouldn't say control the match, but what they were doing, they were just picking up on United's usual issues, not being able to keep the ball, poor passing in key areas, not being protective of the ball, where being stronger in and around the ball, and the highlights that I've watched ball this out, basically. Obviously, I've seen the second half, only highlights. Anthony actually got the goal. I mean, you'll have people saying that, well, the manager was correct to start Anthony. He wasn't correct to start Anthony because, as I say, if you're Ahmad, you just think, well, I've been playing well. I've been playing better than Anthony's shown pretty much all season in a much shorter sample space. So why should I kill myself when the manager actually puts me on? I mean, Anthony did get the goal, but then Onana, who had, to be fair to him, made some good saves in the match, just did, he basically, it's karma, because on the first day of the season, he should have had a penalty against him. Another ridiculous challenge. Yes, it was a poor header from Casemiro, but what's the goalkeeper doing? Just clattering into a defender like he did. It wasn't good enough. It shows the recklessness of Andre Onana. And whilst he has had a better second half of the season, just remember, apparently last season, it all David De Gea's fault. But what we did is we got rid of him, but spent 50 million on a goalkeeper. That has a lot to prove, and there's a lot to show if he's up to the standard of being a Manchester United goalkeeper. Yeah, he had a decent enough game against Burnley, but as a keeper, when you make that one mistake, it left for a penalty, which Burnley dispatched. And then, you know, they would argue that they deserve that point, but United have shown time and again that they can't hold on to leads. As I say, Anthony's goal's in the 79th minute. They gave the penalty away around 10 minutes later. It just goes to show sort of what the problems are. And as I say, in regards to the manager, I mean, we all know the issues of the players. The players, there needs to be a big clear out. And it's quite interesting with Sir Rat and Dave Beresford. They've been praised for clearing out that backroom staff, but they've actually got nobody with any football knowledge in that backroom staff now, apart from Jason Wilcott, who has only just come in. He's only just come in, and he's really going to be third in line on the rung, because it's Omar Berard and Dan Ashworth are going to be the two front and centre. But apparently Omar Berard is not coming in until the middle of July, so it's probably after the Euros, which does make sense. He's on gardening leave, so it does make sense. And Dan Ashworth apparently is going to some arbitration to decide on what the compensation is. I mean, United clearly are not going to pay the compensation that Newcastle want. So like in the old days with players who were leaving on a free, I mean, it was, say, before the Bosman ruling, I remember those days, things would go to arbitration and a panel would decide what a fair price was if two clubs couldn't agree a price. And this is what's going to happen with Dan Ashworth. But as you say, there's that void. And that, yeah, the manager is having to fill that void, but I mean, his post-match comments were ridiculous, talking about we're one of the most entertaining teams in the Premier League. I mean, it's garbage, Eric. I'm sorry. As I say, I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. He has to be paid £9 million by the football club to be sacked. It's as simple as that. So you can sack yourself. I think what he's doing, he's gone into self-preservation mode. He's picking Anthony because, oh, I bought him. I've got to see if he can play. But he knows that if they're going to sack him, they're going to have to pay him £9 million. And he also knows that a bigger issue is the players. And as you say, when you've got no football people running the show because they're at is clueless about football, ask Neeson Lausanne. Brailsford, not much better. Look at what's happened with Neeson Lausanne. So he knows he's got the whip hand again, as I say. He is out there on his own. But for me, he's got to essentially start picking players that are playing well and performing well. And we all know, and my friend put it on a WhatsApp group when they said Ahmed Garnacho should be the wingers going forward for the rest of this season. One of my friends replied saying, well, you know he's going to beat Rashford when he's fit. And that's the weakness of Ten Hag as a manager, picking players that don't deserve to be starting. And that does bring about resentment within players. And you can totally understand that. You think you're at work, just think about it at work, you're the number two or three person. The number one person's basically not performing up to their standard. The number two person is useless and has been brought in on a massive amount of money. Not necessarily the manager's fault, the amount of money, but has been brought in by that manager. So you're the number three person. You're doing your job really well, while the one and two are basically not doing their job very well at all. But then the manager always keeps picking the one or two person when they become available, even though you're doing a much better job throughout that season and you've only been given a small amount of opportunity to show that. I mean, as I say, and it shows the biasness and the cluelessness, sadly, of Erik ten Hag and his favouritism in that regard. So he needs to improve that. Obviously, United now don't play now for... It's over a week. It's a week on Monday, as I'm recording this on Sunday the 28th. So this is a time for some players to maybe come back, but it's also a time for the manager to basically set things up properly, especially when you get some defenders back, get your back four sorted, then look at the midfield. Does Casemiro deserve a place in midfield? As I say, it was a mistake, his header for the goal, but as I say, he's the only one that can play, or the player that can play centre-half, unless he brings in the youngster, which he's not going to do. So he's going to go back into midfield, but is he playing well enough in midfield? He was from the highlights when he was pushed, when he was playing a bit further forward, he was easily rounded by midfield. He just round him. He couldn't even get in a challenge to just hack them down. So that midfield is going to be interesting to see how that's set up. Obviously, it will be Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo. And then obviously up front, we've got Højlund, but he's not performing very well. I'd say the service to him isn't that great, but He's not playing very well. And as I say, there's talk of Martial coming back in. I wouldn't have Martial back in. He's taken the mick out of this football club for far too long just because he's a favourite of one of the Glazers. Scum. Parasites. Fat. The Glazers, by the way. Not necessarily Martial. Martial's just a lazy player who a manager wanted out, but the Glazers decided to give him £250,000 a week instead. Absolutely ridiculous and absolutely clueless football thought process. As I say, when Berada, Ashworth, and obviously Wilcox is there, sensible football decisions will hopefully be being made. And obviously on the wings, Garnacho will start. As I say, it'll probably be Rashford, as I say. But it should be Ahmad, with Rashford and Anthony coming off from off the bench. If Ahmad's not playing well, you have that other option to bring them on. But, I mean, Rashford showed against Chelsea when he comes on. I don't think Rashford thinks he's bigger than the club. But for whatever, if there's stuff going on in the background, that's still not good enough for me, because the manager should be aware of that and you just leave the player out. It's as simple as that, is it? As I say, a lot of selfishness within that Manchester United team, people wanting to do their own things, essentially. And I mean, obviously, Scott McTominay's got injured. It didn't look great, but see how he is. But it's a case of, if it's a long-term injury, United will be stuck with that player. And, you know, a player, as I say, he is a player, and I've said this before, he should have been sold in the summer. Last summer, the manager didn't want him. Harry Maguire's had a decent enough season. And again, but if the manager didn't want him, why is he still at this football club? The people behind the scenes need to be helping the manager to get what he wants. And as I say, people will say that, look at the players that the manager's brought in. Yeah, there can be question marks on that, but he doesn't decide the actual transfer fee of those players. It was incompetence like Richard Arnold and an incompetent in John Murta. Good riddance to both of them. Absolutely useless at their job. Appointments made by Ed Woodward. As I say, called this guy out in 2013, called out Arnold and Murta because basically it was jobs for the boys. And when you give jobs for the boys, no accountability. Let's just give it to somebody below it. They might not be good at the job, but we're still making the money. And then, as I say, United with their financial issues, massive issues. And as I say, they've got an FA Cup final that they're running into, and they've got to perform in that final. And the plan is to win the trophy. It's not good enough if they don't win the trophy at the end of the day. And as I say, Eric Ten Hag's just smiling, though, because he still has to be paid £9 million to leave this football club. And as I say, it's like Sir Rat has taken over in February and just decided, oh, well, we'll just let the season, drift on like we've done season after season after season. I keep hearing, oh, it's the most important transfer window for Manchester United. And, well, actually, people will say for a long time, no, it's not. It's since the last summer, because that's what they're doing. They're always reversing back to where they were before. And as I say, you've not even got Berardi in before July. I don't think you'll get Ashworth in before September. So Jason Wilcox, good luck, because you're the only one with actual experience, football knowledge. And even then, he's only been a director of football for a short period at Southampton. He was academy director at Manchester City. So that's essentially what John Murta was doing at Manchester United, around with infrastructure and working in that way before he became the football director of Manchester United. But John Murta is incompetent. Jason Wilcox has shown that within the Manchester City structure, they actually employ people that actually know what they're doing and can actually do other roles, because they actually want to be a better football club and improve as a football club. Manchester United, they do now, but they haven't done for a long, long, long time. And that is why they're so far behind. But what it will take, targeting the players now, making sure they can get these players in, giving them reasonable wages, not ridiculous wages, and actually shipping out players that deserve to be kicked out of this football club. Simple as that. And as I say, good riddance to those players. Players who talk a good game, but actually don't actually perform a good game on the pitch, which is a massive problem for Manchester United. So it's just a shorty one today. I will have to stop a lame. As always, all pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. But this podcast from Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Podchaser, search MUFC Global and it will come up. A massive four matches incoming for Manchester United now. Crystal Palace away, Arsenal at home, which could be a nightmare game, and I'll talk a little more about that after the Palace game. Anyone with half a brain understands why that could be a nightmare game and an embarrassment for Manchester United. Another embarrassment for Manchester United. Then Newcastle at home, then it's Brighton away before an FA Cup final against Manchester City. So Ten Hag needs to sort out his structure now. He wants things to be set up. He needs the players to step up, and also he needs to actually show some gumption. And if players aren't stepping up, he needs to actually make sure that changes can be made. And one final thing at the wedding, one of my friends saw the Burnley result. Man United won, Burnley won, and the look that she gave me, and I just looked back at her and just said, that's normal. I don't know why you're surprised. Obviously, she doesn't watch United on a regular basis, but yeah, that's where Manchester United are at. As I say, at home to Burnley, less possession. Yes, to be fair, they have more shots and more shots at goal, more shots on target. But obviously, Sheffield United, they gave United a scare. Burnley were giving United a scare. And look at how the game ended up. 1-1, and nobody is surprised. As I say, if it wasn't for Andre Onana, Burnley may well have won, but then Andre Onana gave Burnley the equaliser. So essentially with a free kick at goal. And as I say, the issues at the football club, some of them are self-made. Others are to do with obviously structural issues at the football club. But the thing is, you can't stand still. You need to progress. You need to push on. And how are Ineos going to do this? Because Ineos, it's in your hands. You are in charge, sir, of that football side of the club. And as I say, your face in that FA Cup semi-final when it went back to 3-3, if you're looking at that and thinking to yourself, I'm in shock, how has this happened, then you're an idiot, because you're 100% not a Live Frog fan, because you clearly not been watching Manchester United properly this season. So lots to do, and then it's Crystal Palace away on a Monday night. Everybody will be expecting Crystal Palace to win. They're on a good run of form. United, they need to actually start playing some decent football, need to have some fluidity, some cohesion, because it isn't there at this football club. Simple as that. So as always, thanks for listening. Say Palace, week Monday.